Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, welcoming you to this ASI cast. Early last month, Tam Ireland and the IAPI, the Institute of Advertising Practitioners in Ireland, launched a report based on advertising effectiveness case histories. This initiative drew inspiration from the long-established IPA Ad Effectiveness Awards in the UK, which have built up an impressive body of case history material over the last 30 years or more, and that recognises the need to find the metrics and the language to communicate advertising effectiveness, both in the short and long term, at boardroom level. In this ASI cast, Brian Jacobs, who has served on a judging panel for the IPA Awards, interviews Jill McGrath, the CEO of Tam Ireland, about the launch of this study and the importance of such work in the future. Brian.
Hello, everybody. This is Brian Jacobs, and today I'm joined by Jill McGrath, the CEO of Tam Ireland, to talk about a brilliant initiative that they've just recently taken. So, Jill, perhaps you could start by describing the project to us.
Sure, Brian. Yeah, we in Tam Ireland, we saw the need for hard evidence to prove the work and worth of advertising in Ireland, really. And we were keen to demonstrate the power of what we do in a way that could be understood by really even the most cynical at the boardroom table, if you like, so that when it comes to the battle for budgets, advertising can take its rightful share. So we followed in the footsteps of Les Binnett and Peter Field in going through our equivalent of the IPA Effectiveness Awards, the IAPI Ad Effects. And we went through the awards over the last 18 years really to have a look at the link between commercial payback, media investment payback, and creativity payback. So that's what we set out to do. With the IAPI awards, we obviously had a huge volume of data, but not consistent data. So we had to go to quite a lot of other areas to fill in the gaps, if you like. So we worked with Nielsen and Kantar to try and get value market share figures along with ad spend data, and that's really how we kind of pulled all of the data together.
The thing that really struck me, Jill, when I read the work was the language you were using. I mean, it does seem as if you were very clearly aiming this at the boardroom and at CEOs and CFOs. Is that what you were aiming to do?
Absolutely, Brian. Yeah, that was we really feel that the problem, certainly within Ireland, is that advertising, we're great at talking up advertising with ourselves, and we all have great faith in it and really believe in it. But when it comes to the boardroom, we don't speak in the same language. And sometimes marketing people can be seen to be the kind of fluffy bit at the end, if you like. We want to demonstrate that advertising is an investment, it's a serious business investment, and we needed to speak about it in a language that could be understood by the CEOs and the CFOs. So we very much talk about metrics that are common and well understood. Value market share was the key metric that we used in terms of determining effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And that really is something that we felt, could withstand a lot of scrutiny. Everybody could understand it, but it can also stand up to the battle against volume, where, we would come across a lot of pressure from promotions and, the buy one, get one free offers, where the volumes are going through the roof, but it's not really adding to the bottom line. So we felt that value market share was a metric that everybody could understand and that would help us in that battle against promotions.
And Les Binnett and Peter Field's work obviously spends a lot of time talking about and attempting to demonstrate, very successfully, of course, the long-term effect of advertising, whereas a lot of other people do tend to go down the rather easier route of showing kind of short-term blips. I mean, were you did you have much evidence in your work of long-term effect?
Yeah, in the awards themselves, we very much found that most of the awards were short term. So we were very effective. and had great figures, but we did want to have a look at the long-term effect as well. So what we did was we took four different categories: supermarkets, lagers, the premium ham market, and the motor market. The reason people laugh when we say premium ham, the reason we went for that is because it's an FMCG brand that's very threatened by own label.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be a good example of a brand that's in that category, or a product category that's fighting against own label. So we picked those four categories and we looked at them over an 8-year period. And we looked at all brands within those categories. So not just the winners, but the losers and the ones that maintained. And we looked to see what they had in common with each other. And what was really interesting was that the brands that lost more than 1% share over that period, and you have to remember that these markets are worth billions, so a 1% share is just so valuable. The ones that lost it tended to be the number 2 or 3 in the marketplace. They lost on average 7% share over that period. So it's a big loss. But the key thing was that their share of voice in media was less than their share of market, fairly much as an ongoing thing. But they also had a very inconsistent spending strategy over the period. So you could see where they looked like they were going to invest and they put some money in and then it didn't have a quick effect, so they pulled back. And you can actually see that over the period. Whereas the brands that remained level tended to be number one in the marketplace. Their spend was, their share of voice was very close to their share of market. And they had a very consistent spending strategy.
I mean, I guess also, I mean, one of the things that struck me going through the IPA papers over here was the significance and importance of television. I mean, I think we tend to get a bit carried away sometimes with digital this and digital that. I mean, did you find that, you know, at the heart of most of these campaigns was TV, or did you find that there's a shift away from TV?
No, absolutely. At the heart of these campaigns was most definitely TV. It was the dominant media in the vast majority of campaigns. And it was in almost all of the entries. And when we look, going back to that long-term study, when we look at the role of TV in that, in the challenger brands, the brands that were winning, TV plays a really, really strong role, and a consistently strong role. So once they start to invest heavily in TV, you can absolutely see their market share grow over that time. So TV, I mean, it came out as a great story for TV without us even looking for it. So, you know, our approach was a total advertising approach, but TV just came out so, so strongly from it.
So what kind of reaction have you had in the market?
Very enthusiastic. So we had a launch at the beginning of this month, and it was actually one of the biggest events that there has ever been, one of the biggest attendances of an event of this type in Ireland. So that was gratifying. And the feedback has been really good. But obviously, we need to try and keep the momentum going. We don't want people to go, yeah, that was really interesting and all great, and kind of let it gather dust in the corner. So we have a kind of an ongoing campaign of going out, visiting the ad agencies in the first instance. We see them as the kind of first line of going out and selling this to the marketing people, who in turn can bring it to their boardrooms. So we very much have a strategy of going out and continuing to meet face-to-face, one-on-one with the agencies on this, and also with continued presence in the media within Ireland over the next couple of months.
Do you think this is going to be a programme you'll run again, or is it one of those things you do infrequently, or how do you see the sort of future?
What we've done is we've made recommendations to IAPI for a questionnaire to put in with the Ad Effects Awards going forward, so that gathering the data can become a little bit easier than than reading through all of the awards one by one and finding figures left, right and centre. So, yes, we've done that, and we have also encouraged the industry to just add to the database. So we essentially have the database sitting there now ready for just to add in the next awards numbers and move on from there. So I would see this being repeated probably, certainly in the next 2 years.
Okay. Well, Jill, it's been great talking to you, and thanks very much for sharing your insights and indeed describing the project, which sounds, you know, fantastically interesting and very successful from all points of view, really. And hopefully there'll be an opportunity for you to come along and present that that work face-to-face at an ASI conference in the future.
Great. Thank you very much, Brian.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jill. Cheers now.
You've been listening to an ASI cast, our regular series of interviews and chats, available at the ASI website at asiconferences.com.